Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode of The Wrap-Up, a production of The Balance. Join Tom and $2 Bill Josh as they wrap up the last 24 hours of sports for you. Right now, here's Tom and $2 Bill Josh.
I am Optimus Prime, and I send this message to any surviving Autobots taking refuge among the stars. We are here. We are waiting.
All right, and welcome to The Balance, boys and girls. My name is Tom. We do this thing called The Balance every Saturday morning right here on Blog Talk Radio. So glad that you could join us. And right alongside me, as usual, is my faithful sidekick, $2 Bill Josh. Josh, how you doing today?
I'm doing well in the wetlands of Indianapolis. How are you, Tom?
I am good. The wetlands of Indianapolis is correct. But I can tell you one thing. It is dry on the hardwood down at Conseco today. The women of the Big Ten are in town. They have a show to put on this weekend, which we'll really get into. And speaking of basketball, Josh, we've got the NBA as usual. $2 Bill Josh, break us down what's going on in the NBA. You're going to have do it without the aid of the NBA Zap. NBA TV did not get us the Zap in time to get it loaded for today's show. Josh, you are completely capable of doing your own Zap. So, Josh, take it away. And on the flip side of that, we'll break down into the women's Big Ten tournament here in Indianapolis. So, Josh, take the floor.
Last night, the Indiana Pacers lost to the Dallas Mavericks 116-107. The Indiana Pacers have come back to reality. Everybody got really excited, myself included, when they got off to a 9-2 start under Coach Frank Vogel. I do remember Tom saying, let's not read too much into that, and it appears he may have got that one right, as the Pacers are all of a sudden looking like they're the exact same team they were under Coach Jim O'Brien. They've came back to reality a little bit. I still think they'll make the playoffs, especially in the weak Eastern Conference, but I don't think they can beat the Heat or the Celtics, and they're going to play one of those two teams in the first round of the NBA playoffs if they can hang on to make it. I'm going to go ahead and predict right now, based on some credible sources, that they have the Pacers have already decided who they're going to hire to be their coach next year. It'll be Mike Brown. They will not announce, obviously, while they have a coach.
Hello, are you there, Josh?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Oh, I'm sorry. I lost my microphone there for a minute, so I wanted to make sure that you hadn't said anything, but go ahead.
But here's the Indiana Pacers are going to hire Mike Brown in the offseason. Obviously, they're not going to make that move, and Frank Vogel's still under contract, so we'll have to see when that change happens. I'm actually going to go ahead and predict my NBA Finals today. The Chicago Bulls, I think, will reach the NBA Finals. I don't think it'll be the Celtics or the Heat or the new-look Knicks. The Knicks don't have a deep enough bench. The Bulls have Derrick Rose, and they have a great starting lineup. And last night, they went to Orlando, and they took it to the Magic 89-81. It was the Sixers over the Timberwolves 111-100. Kevin Love had his 49th straight double-double. That's impressive. No matter what team you're a fan of, to have 49 straight double-doubles. The Pacers are off today, I believe, and they play tomorrow. I'm sorry, I was at Conseco Fieldhouse last night at the Big Ten tournament, so I didn't get to see any of the Pacers games, so all I can give you is what I got out of the box score this morning. And that's about it for the NBA today.
All right, Josh, as usual, thanks for wrapping up the NBA for us. As I mentioned at the very beginning of the show, the Women's Big Ten tournament is here in Indianapolis, and Indianapolis is proud to host that. We do a lot of NCAA action here in the Circle City. Obviously, we're the home of the NCAA offices, headquarters, and Hall of Champions. It only makes sense that we have a Big Ten tournament right here in the Circle City. And as things got started out, it was that rivalry between IU and Purdue, and they did some battle. We'll talk about the women's Big Ten right after this.
Think of it this way. The average margin of victory in first-round games historically at the Big Ten tournament, you go back the last 5 years, it's 13.3 points. Not so in our first game of the 2011 tournament. Purdue and Indiana played a great game. Back and forth, high intensity for the in-state foes. Sharon Versiff has a great record in this Big Ten tournament. Here's Courtney Moses, the freshman, with a nice layup. She started 3-for-3 from the floor in the first half. Jory Davis had a strong performance, however. 21 points for Davis on the day. The hanging jumper right there. Indiana takes the lead. Purdue comes back. Dre Mingo. She led all scorers with 12 at the break. This is a Mingo who only averages 11 per game. Boilermakers led 32-26. Second half, Hope Elam. In transition, Indiana really felt like running on this day. The nice bounce for Elam. Indiana extends their lead, and Purdue answers. About 9 minutes to play. They were down 50-42. The steal by Brittany Rayburn. The finish is part of a 7-0 run. And then it gets close. We're tied at 60 with a minute 15 to play. The bounce pass inside, then outside, then back inside to Mingo. The layup is good, and that was all they needed. 62-60 at that point. Purdue goes on to win by only 4 points. And I guess let's start with what Purdue did well, and we saw some of it there from Mingo. She did hit 3 three-pointers, but a lot of her points came in the paint.
Well, Dre Mingo did such a good job of establishing herself inside early. She had 12 points in the first half, and Purdue did a good job of establishing themselves early. And in the second half, Brittany Rayburn got herself going. She was 2-for-10 in the first half and was much more aggressive offensively, and her shot selection was a lot better in the second half. And when you can get easy layups like that, defense creating offense, you certainly get your confidence going. And then she had it going right here, because look at the step back behind the screen and able to knock the shots down. And what I like about this Purdue win, it was very balanced, and they got it done inside in the first half, outside in the second half, and when it came down the stretch, they executed so well offensively and defensively. It was a team that was poised down the stretch, and that's what got them the victory.
We had Brittany Rayburn up here to talk about those final free throws, and as Tom did a great job of saying in the game, she's the best free throw shooter in the conference, number one by making 88% from the line, and as I said, 12 for 12 for her. How impressive is that as she sets the all-time conference record in a Big Ten tournament
game? It's huge, and you want your perimeter players to be your best free throw shooters, and she has always been a very good free throw shooter, and she said it. She missed a couple of free throws at the Penn State game, and that got her to refocus and understand how crucial crunch time free throws are, and she stepped up with confidence. She was very poised under pressure, and she knocked them down.
And Purdue gets the victory, and we'll move on to face Penn State, but they do so by getting pretty decently manhandled on the boards. 40-30, Indiana had the lead. There was a handful of things the Hoosiers did well in this game.
Well, Indiana came out in the second half really with a renewed energy. They started attacking the rim. They did a good job of attacking off of the dribble, of finding open post players, of forcing Purdue's defense to rotate and to shift. And Jory Davis and Whitney Lindsey carried them in the first half, but everybody else stepped up in the second half. And crashing the offensive glass, Dorothy Jones had 5 offensive rebounds. Indiana had 15 as a team, 16 second chance points. But then at crunch time, they rushed. There were plenty of opportunities, missed layup opportunities, rush shots. In the last minute of the ball game, it was a 2-point ball game. Indiana comes down, no pass shot, and Jory Davis did not touch the ball down the stretch, and that cannot happen.
Let's talk about Davis for a second, because she went down with those 4 fouls, and Tom mentioned it. In the stadium, there are certain stat sheets that we get that say she had 3. The scoreboard said she had 4. There was confusion all over. How did you think they handled her going out of the game, then coming back in, and then her involvement when she did come back?
Well, I thought they did a good job of handling it once she went out, because Indiana even extended on that lead. Alani Sinclair came in and did a good job. But when she got back in the ballgame, it was like she was non-existent. She didn't get hardly any touches down the stretch. And when she did, she was trying to facilitate as opposed to going to the rim. I don't know if she was worried about getting a fifth foul in a charge situation, But your star player has got to touch the ball, and she's got to touch it because not only can she score it, but she can create other opportunities, easy opportunities for her teammates because the defense has to be aware of where she is. And I felt like just from a time management standpoint and from a poise standpoint, Indiana did not handle the pressure well down the stretch.
All right, and that's a little bit of a soundbite of the action going on down there in Conseco Fieldhouse here in Indianapolis. The Women's Big Ten Tournament up and going, and also up and going is the balance. We are so glad that you joined us here on this Saturday morning. You get up, you get your coffee, you get your pastry, and you join the balance. To me, it's not a better way to start your Saturday morning. Now, Josh, I know you're going to be downtown representing the balance down there at the Women's Big Ten Tournament today. What kind of action has been going on? What can we see today? And what is going to be the final outcome, the final shootout, if you will, in the Women's Big Ten Conference Championship here in Indianapolis?
Well, at 5 o'clock, it'll be the Penn State Nittany Lions taking on the number 11 seed, Illinois, Fighting Illini, the first number 11 seed. Actually, there's never been a number 10 seed make it to the semifinals of the Big Ten tournament before this year. Penn State has Ben Davis's own Alex Bentley, so she'll have quite a large section of fans. She didn't have too many fans there yesterday, but that game tipped off at 11:55 a.m. local time, so most of her fans were still in school or still at work. I imagine she'll have a huge cheering block today. I imagine it'll be a very predominantly pro-Penn State crowd in that game. I actually think Penn State's the best team left in the tournament, although I know number 1 seed Michigan State plays number 5 seed Ohio State at 7:30. I was actually at those two games last night. I was not impressed by Michigan State's offense, although they did hold the Northwestern Lady Wildcats to a total of 25 points, the fewest points ever scored in a Big Ten women's tournament game. They have a great defense. I'm not sure they can score enough to stay up with Ohio State, who beat Iowa last night, 71-61, and what I will call a classic game. Now, the score will tell you that Ohio State dominated, but with 2 minutes to go, they were only up by 5 points, and then they got a 10-point lead because Iowa kept fouling, hoping they would miss free throws. And as you see so many times in basketball, that strategy very rarely works. And in fact, I would wish coaches would get away from it. I don't know what your thoughts on it is, Tom, but the strategy doesn't work. It almost always ends up costing you the game instead of helping you get back in the game. Should be two great games today, though.
And it should be. And it's always exciting to watch the women's basketball go at it. And I know you and I had a chance to see the women Boilermakers and Auburn go together in a good game here in Indianapolis, a few months ago. And it's always good to watch the women play because, a lot of times I like to look at it as, hey, these guys are playing real basketball, because there's not a lot of really big NBA contracts, let's face it, in the WNBA. If they get to there, you might have a few people that's making a little bit of money, but they're not making anything near on the scale of what the men NBA is playing. So, in my opinion, it's always fun to watch the women play because it's just really just good basketball and good skills, and you know, it's just good to get out there and watch them play that. And as far as the coaches' strategies and that sort of stuff, I guess that just varies from time to time. I would think that the strategy is a little bit different with women than men. And I know women, hey, why should it be any different for women than it is men? Because, well, let's just face it, women are built different than men. And the way they move and the things they can do are a little bit different than what the men can do. So the strategies are going to be a little bit different. But speaking of strategy, we're moving on down the road into spring training 2011 in the MLB. You've got the Florida gang, and you've got the Arizona gang. You've got the Cactus League and the Citrus League. And, oh, my goodness, it's going to be a good year of baseball. 26 days, 4 hours and 45 minutes and 27 seconds till opening day, Mr. $2 Bill Josh. I can hardly wait. I'm on pins and needles waiting to see what my St. Louis Cardinals will do. They're doing pretty good here in the preseason. I know that yesterday the Red Sox and the Yankees had some action going on there. And, of course, you know, my wife's a big Cubs fan, and so we follow the Cubs and the Cardinals here in my house here. And it's always exciting to watch spring training. I just feel like a little kid. I get all giddy and all ready to go and all geared up, and it's just another sign of spring. And one of the good things about spring is baseball, and they don't call it America's favorite pastime for nothing. It's just a lot of good thing, and the balance will be represented down at a lot of Indianapolis Indians games. And plus I know that we're going to be trying to make some trips out to some major league games and stuff. So, Josh, have you had a chance to look at your Red Sox this spring? Have you had a chance to look at any of the other spring training events or what's going on? And what can we look for? Is it too early to pick a World Series champions? I don't think so. It's going to be the Cardinals and somebody else in the American League. Josh, what are your thoughts?
Actually, I've seen quite a bit of spring training baseball. I have MLB Extra Innings, and I also subscribe to their spring training package. So I've seen the Red Sox, I've seen the Cardinals, I've seen the Phillies, I've seen the Dodgers, I've seen the Reds. I haven't seen the Cubs yet, although I'm glad you brought the Cubs up. In baseball, the object is to beat your opponent, and I'm sure you've heard about this story, not beat up your teammates. I don't understand what that's about. Every single year, the Cubs seem to have a fight in the dugout. I don't know if that's the culture, if it's encouraged, if it's just they have a bad chemistry mix. But I remember last year, Zambrano got into it with a teammate. Already this year, Aramis Ramirez and Carlos Silva have had a fight in the dugout. I don't know if you've heard about that or not.
I have, and actually there was a closed-door meeting where apparently Carlos Saliva. Saliva, how do you say his name? Saliva.
Silva.
I'm going to call him Saliva because he's on the Cubs. But I guess he takes blame for the altercation. I know there was a private meeting behind doors down there in Mesa, Arizona. The Cubs did have a players-only meeting on Thursday. So just that very issue that you're talking about, Josh, and the fact that they don't want this again this year. And I guess there was a lot of things that were said in a lot of commitments that were made on the team. And bottom line is this: it's natural to be competitive. It's natural to be, you know. But here it is. It's only spring. We got plenty. There's a lot of baseball left. Let's get along and because you're going to need to play as a team to win as a team, especially in baseball, which is one of the things that makes baseball great is the teamwork. And according to Mr. Saliva, the only thing I said was we need to start making plays here. He took it personally. I knew it was my mistake. It was my fault. You shouldn't say anything, but he took it personally. We argued in the dugout, and that was it. And it has been the matter has been closed. And quote unquote by Carlos. Now here's my thing on that, Josh, and we want to make sure we have plenty of time to talk about the labor agreement in the NFL. You know, that's all fine and dandy, and I agree. Let's let them hash it out in the locker room. It shouldn't be done on the field. Anything else real quickly, Josh, in spring training, either in the cactus or the citrus? Mr. Hey, I never leave my friend of my TV. Which, by the way, I'm going to come over sometime and watch some of your games. How's that sound?
That sounds good. I did think the Cardinals could reach the World Series. I no longer feel that way. I don't think they can overcome the loss of their ace pitcher. When you get to the playoffs, you need your ace pitcher. You can't go into the playoffs with a half-full gun. So if they can make a trade, I do think the Cardinals look better than the Phillies. The Phillies have great pitching. I'm not impressed with their offense, although it is only spring training. But if I had to pick today, I would say the Red Sox beat the Phillies in 7 in the classic World Series.
Okay. Well, We got a long we got a long season yet, so we'll see. But yeah, it's always fun to pick that. One of the things going backtracking a little bit here that we didn't cover was men's basketball. Real quickly, I want to do that because we are right on the cuffs of Selection Sunday, and that is coming. And I hope that you guys are following all the action on The Balance, www.thebalanceonline.com. And very soon, we hope to have some merchandise available for you to buy online. Some sponsorships available for you for if you want to sponsor the show, if you want to put a banner ad on our website. We're going to have all of that available for you. We're going to have a banner ad on TracksideReview.com, which RJ will be on here in just about 10 minutes. We're going to break down the racing segment, and also a very, very important announcement that we're going to be doing starting next Saturday. Next Saturday morning, in the time we should have arranged here, probably Monday morning, we'll be on XRB Radio AM 1610. Now, one thing that I want to let you guys know is we won't be taking any callers on that show. That will be a pre-recorded show for now. And as sponsors jump on board, we'll certainly be able to take that into a live section. So the more and more that we add to our media library, the more costly that it becomes. So the more that we depend on you, our sponsors. So if you're listening and you'd like to jump on board and be a sponsor here, either on one of the good things about it is you sponsor us. You sponsor us across the board, and that's on our website. That's right here on Blog Talk Radio, XRB Satellite Radio, XRB Internet Radio, and XRB AM 1610, and of course the various different phone applications that you're going to be able to hear us on. We're really excited about it, and we've come a long way, got a long ways to go yet, but we're going to have that available for you. And one of the things that we're going to have up on the website is a link to jump into our March Madness pool, where you'll be able to connect on that through CBS Sports. And so we hope all of you guys will jump on that. And, of course, we'll have that posted on Facebook and on Twitter as well, which, by the way, you can follow us on Twitter under just T-Balance. Just and we're there, capital G, capital B, balance. And you can find us on Facebook. And certainly glad to have your comments. Josh, I know, is going to have a blog ready for us. And we've got RJ Cunningham's blogs up here in the track, and I'll be doing some baseball blogs so that we get to baseball here. So really an exciting time. Spring, it's a blossoming. The flowers are a blossoming, and the balance is a blossoming. And we'd love to have you. Hey, guys, coming up right around the corner is Trackside Radio Style. We're going to have it right here on The Balance. We do that every Saturday. RJ Cunningham of Trackside Review joins us, and we're going to be breaking down and talking racing. So if you want to talk racing, give us a call, 917-889-8516. 917-889-8516. Promise you, we'll get you on the line and we'll talk racing. Now, speaking of talks, Josh, we've got the NFL labor agreement. Looks like there's a little bit of movement toward the right direction, toward the center, where both parties are starting to maybe think a little bit about not having a lockout. At first, we had a 24-hour extension. Now we've got a 7-day extension. Josh, real quickly, let's break down what's going on over there in the NFL. Are we going to get an agreement, or is this going to be something that just isn't going to happen, or is this a sign that they're starting to get some work done there?
I believe they want to get some work done, but at the end of the day, and the players' union has made this known, the owners do not have the power to lock the players out. Even if they do, the players would go to court, break up the union, in which case you cannot lock out individual employees. So if the owners try to lock the players out, the players have already made it known that they'll just go decertify the union, which essentially means that the owners will have to let them come to work, even though the owners are mad at them. But on the other hand, if the players don't have a union, the bad thing about decertifying, and I don't know if the players have thought about this until I didn't think about it until I heard it on Fox News, you break the union up, you take the deal the owners give you. You don't have any bargaining power if you break the union up. So hopefully we get a deal worked out. If not, I think the players are shooting themselves in the foot, because if you break up the union, the owners are going to say, fine, we're taking the extra $1 billion, and we're going to have an 18-game schedule. And since you broke up the union, oh, yeah, there's nothing you can do about it.
Right. And here's the thing. I don't want to get this into a political conversation because we're all about sports, so we like you no matter what your political party is. As long as you like sports, we like you. If you don't like sports, well, hey, this isn't the show for you anyway. You probably aren't listening. 917-889-8516 if you want to chime in on the NFL labor talks. We're talking about that here on The Balance right here on Blog Talk Radio. And you can also chime in on our website. You leave a comment there. We'll take it, and if we'd like it, we'll post it. If not, we'll just delete it. That's just how it is because I've got the power of the delete button right here on my side. So glad that you guys could join us here on The Balance. And that is true. I mean, I think that the union does play a very vital role. I'm not really a big union fan across the board. Now, I know they have their functions, and my wife is a teacher, and she's in the union, and I know that everybody has a situation of being in union. So that said, I don't want to make it a political conversation about unions, but I think that the unions play a vital role in this particular situation, and I think that, you know, the NFL labor talks, another tension. To me, maybe that's a good sign. They're starting to budge a little bit. Of course, there's a long ways to go. But I think the big gap is still on big money. And I think the signs are still way far apart on the economic issues at the heart of their dispute, which is really the problem here. The NFL and its players' unions agreed Friday to give themselves one more week to negotiate a new collective bargaining agreement that would advert the game's first work stoppage in more than two decades. And if you remember right, back in 1987, I believe it was 1987, I'll have to check the exact date on that, but it was right around in the late 80s on that. Maybe it was 1982, actually. But it was in the 80s, that much I know for a fact. And they brought in some players, and they had some temporary games. They didn't know if they wanted to count those games. Eventually, those games ended up counting, and it was just really kind of a big mess. So hopefully we can avoid all of that from the aspect of the fans, the players, and everybody concerned. So, I mean, I think that the extension does provide us with some optimism, and hopefully things can get to. We do want to hear your thoughts. Give us a call, 917-889-8516. Right around the corner is R.J. Cunningham. He'll be on here with us for Trackside Review, the magazine, radio style. And if you've not had a chance to check out that website, we got it launched early this week. And it is a work in progress, but we're going to really I'm working with R.J. and helping him get that website going. Go check it out, www.tracksidereview.com. And got it all designed, and it is launched, and we're going to have a lot of press releases. And The Balance, along with Trackside Review, will be at various different short tracks and NASCAR events and different events throughout the racing season. So want to make sure that you stop by the Trackside Review table and say hello and make sure that you pick up a copy of Trackside Review, the magazine. And you can subscribe online to www.tracksidereview.com. Well, right around the corner, we will have R.J. Cunningham and Trackside Review. This is The Balance. We do this every single Saturday. So glad that you could join us right here on Blog Talk Radio. Starting next week, we'll be on XRB AM 1610 in Brownsburg, Indiana. We're also going to be on XRB.com, right here on BlogTalkRadio.com, iTunes, and also we archive all of our shows on the website, www.TheBalanceOnline.com. The shows will also be archived on www.RRadio.com. So glad that you could join us. We'll be right back. And when we get back, it's Trackside Review Radio Style right here on The Balance.
Do you like what you hear on The Balance and Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, GBalance. You can also send us an email at gbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.TheBalanceOnline.com.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
Again, welcome to the land of fame access. Am I gonna fit in? Jumped in the cab, here I am for the first time. Look to my right and I see the Hollywood sign. Shifted on so crazy, everybody seems so famous. My tummy's turning and I'm feeling kinda homesick. Too much pressure and I'm nervous. Just when the taxi man turned on the radio and it Jay-Z's song was on.
Oh no, another one!
Low, watch me, both sides, come on.
Oh, this is wiping out half the field.
This is a big one on the backstretch at Phoenix.
Look at that.
Ryan Vickers got sideways and then was perpendicular to the field. There's his silver car up against the wall.
Low, watch me, both sides, come on.
Oh, this is wiping out half the field.
This is a big one on the backstretch at Phoenix.
Look at that.
Ryan Vickers got sideways and then was perpendicular to the field. There's his silver car up against the wall.
My goodness.
Jamie McMurray, part of the pileup. Bobby Labonte, after a great Daytona 500 with front-end damage.
Let's see if we can
Jeff
see.
Burton,
look at Burton.
Tall torn up.
Yeah, the first time I saw this, I thought when he got sideways that maybe the 56 got into him, but I don't think he did now. I think it was just from Matt getting into the 83 of Vickers and getting him loose. And it's, you know, we've seen cars have trouble off a two over there. It must be really slick up high.
No contact there with Matt Kenseth.
You're all clear, man. All clear, all the way down. Check it up. Come on. Low. Watch me. Both sides. Come on. Go low. Good job. Clear low. Stay easy. Back it up. Right in the middle of it, guys. Right in the middle of it.
It's a shame. You know, we're all better race car drivers than this. To be racing out hard this early in a race, we're all out there racing like it's our first time. You know, it's just kind of embarrassing, to be honest with you, to be wrecked this early. You know, two early cautions to wipe too many cars out like that. We're all professionals, and we should be driving like it.
That was a hard hit. Hopefully we'll be able to get back out. I don't know. Matt wrecked us. He just door slammed in the middle of the corner, I don't know what, 75 laps, in 67 laps in a race. You know, it's going to come back to him.
I'm having enough room out there today, Mike. I mean, I know we were tight, but I thought he had plenty of room.
He didn't give you an inch there. He stayed real tight with you, and he had plenty of room to his right.
Okay, but I left enough room to the wall, right? So that's down in the middle of the corner, and he's already on me.
Two different views.
All right, it is Trackside Review, the magazine radio style right here on The Balance. Right alongside me is $2 Bill Josh, and on the other side of me is RJ Cunningham with Trackside Review, the magazine. Guys, are you with me?
I'm here.
RJ, hey, are you there? All right.
Yes, sir.
All right. Everybody's here. All right. So as you guys heard right there at the very beginning of that segment there, it was just really a lot of radio chatter and coverage with the the race out in Phoenix and the big one that happened out there. Obviously, everybody pushing across blame, and I don't know if you had a chance to see that or not, RJ. But let's just jump into the racing here real quickly. And I know one thing that you're just biting at the chum to talk about is your brand new website, www.tracksidereview.com. Can you tell us a little bit about what the listeners can look for on there? Obviously, we know that it's a work in progress, so we're improving every day. But ultimately, what are they going to be able to get from both the magazine and online? Tell us a little bit about Trackside Review for the listeners that may have missed us talking about it last week. And let's just jump right into racing. RJ, and pardon the expression, but you could take the wheel, buddy.
Okay, well, basically what you have done, or the marketing solution has done, has in 1 week done more for Trackside Review online at TracksideReview.com than anybody else has done in a year. I want to thank you for your help first and foremost. Basically what race fans will always be able to look for on this particular site is any racing news locally and nationally, such as NASCAR, Formula One, and so on. I personally want the race fans to see the local news first. When I mean local, I mean Indiana, Illinois, Kentucky, Michigan, Ohio, places like Winchester Speedway, Salem Speedway, CRA Racing Series, USAC Racing, Anderson Speedway, the Indianapolis Speedrome. Anything like that is what I want to be on this site first. And then everybody else can see the NASCAR things. We'll talk NASCAR. Of course, I might not be interested if we're not interested in our...
our little wager here on the balance.
I said enough last week that I want to stomp you guys in the ground every week on my predictions on NASCAR. And maybe IRL, any televised race that we're going to cover with our thoughts, you know, I feel like I have the knowledge to kick your butts. So you can respond, and $2 can respond too. I did save one $2 crisp bill just in case I lose. But so far, now, technically we haven't announced any rules, but anyway, I'm waiting for $2 a response there too. So.
Well, we'll have to have a collective bargaining agreement on the rules. But $2 bill, Josh. It sounds like you've been called to the table on a challenge on your ability to pick races and basically put your $2 bill where your mouth is. What are your thoughts, Josh?
I'm fine with that, RJ. Actually, it's been a role model of mine for quite some time. I read Trackside Review when it was first coming out, and I'm super excited to hear that it's coming back out. I'm super excited to find out how I can get a subscription to the actual magazine, unless it's going to be totally online. But RJ's been a big role model of mine for quite some time, so I'm up for it.
All right, there you go, Mr. RJ. The challenge is accepted. I will jump in just for fun. Now, here's the thing. I love racing. I do just as much as the next guy. But I am going to be making my picks from probably the logistics of a fan, not so much as the logistics of the expert, as you will. So I don't know if that gives you an unfair advantage. So what we'll do here is one of us has to keep track of all the winning. So, RJ, I'm going to let you take the lead and just make sure every week that you email us, and we'll post it on the website on both TracksideReview.com, and we'll post it here on the website on www.thebalanceonline.com, and we'll post our picks. And basically what we'll do is we'll kind of go throughout out the season, and basically here's what will happen, and we'll start fresh next, because that way there's no retro going on. Here's how the rules will break down. Okay, the winner takes $2 from the other two, okay? So, but however, let's say you won $6, but you lose the next week. We get to subtract that from your winning. So at the end of the year, basically, it's going to be distributed equally. Does that sound fair?
Yeah, that sounds really good to me, because you know last year was kind of a lean Christmas, so I can go ahead and plan my Christmas strategies for all my.
Is this your?
will be blessed.
Well,
it's
fitting that we're setting it up this week, because obviously coming up on Sunday and the nationwide race and stuff today is Las Vegas. So gambling is very – now keep in mind, guys, listeners – hey, we're not condoning gambling. All we're doing is just putting out some $2 bills in there. And unfortunately, we cannot open it up to anybody else but the three of us. But it'll be fun to have you guys follow along with us and follow along with who our picks are in the driver type situation. So we'll certainly get into the Vegas race, which is coming up. On the nationwide race, which is 3 p.m. Eastern time, out there in the desert. Always a good race to watch out there in Vegas, and, of course, NASCAR tomorrow. Now let's talk a little bit about what's going on in other racing. Now, RJ, I know that you are the man of the hour when it comes to short track and some of these other type of races, and as the season moves along, we hope to have some people from Advanced Racing and some different people on who really follow a lot of the different types of racing. But RJ, just kind of let's jump into this past week. What's coming on? I know you are down there at the Indianapolis Speedrome a lot. And one of the things I want to point out there on the website is our calendar for Trackside Review. And wherever Trackside Review will be, of course, there's a Twitter, just Trackside Review. It's pretty easy. So there will be a lot of ways that you can come out to the track and meet RJ and talk racing with him and really kind of pick his brain. Now, I know a lot of times you're down at the Indianapolis Speedrome. And you're around. So what's going on in the, not that they're less important, but the less known races? And like you said, that's really where the real race fans are. So what's going on there this week, and if anything at all, and what's the news out of the short track and the different other types of races?
Well, if you look on the site and you look down, you'll see USAC events, and one of the events coming up this next weekend is a USAC benevolent race at Fast Times Indoor Karting. And, you know, Gary Holler and yourself and myself and $2 Josh, I mean, I wouldn't mind if there's room for us to get a team there. Anything that we do, I'm sure, you know, the racers will clean our clocks, but it's good for race drivers that are injured. Shane Meal was badly injured earlier or last year, and you know he's recovering from a broken neck and various other injuries. And the Benevolent Fund, you know, helps fund, you know, drivers and families' injuries that are USAC members and so on. So that's the upcoming date this next weekend, and then the Indianapolis Speedrome has a spring fling that's already on track. And if the weather is dry, they'll be running on the weekends. And then as the season progresses, every racetrack and every driver and every sanction that wants to send information in press release form, you and I post things on Trackside Review. And, Josh, you mentioned that, you know, you're looking forward to Trackside Review coming back. There will be a print version of the magazine, but we have to get the online version done first, mainly because of the gas prices now compared to what it was when I had the magazine out in early, you know, 99 to 2006. The delivery strategies have to change. When you go from $1 a gallon gas to $4 a gallon gas, you've got to really determine how you're going to do the deliveries. And I find it very important that I get the old magazines back. I would sell the magazines to the stores at 15 per store. And generally, many stores would sell out. But if they had three or four or five or six left, I wanted those magazines because that's what I would use for future sales efforts and, you know, discounted efforts and so on. And I had a person ask me, well, what do you do with the old magazines? Throw them in the trash? Well, I've never thrown a magazine in the trash, but of the 16 issues that I produced prior to these new ones coming out, I only have two no, three magazines where I have any copies at all. In other words, they were complete sellouts. So, now, of course, I gave away a few copies, but you'll find that I'm pretty tight. I don't give them away. I think they're worth seeing. So, anyway, I lost my train of thought. But anyway, you know, the website, I noticed that Tom's got my logos up there. We're tweaking it every day. This is just one website. There will be a total of three websites. RJ's Racebook, which will be a yellow page directory of people that are involved in motorsports, that sponsor motorsports. We might even let race fans in that particular version. I am very adamant about supporting the companies that support racing. My daughter is studying actuarial science at Butler University, and I would like her to do a study on just how much money racing brings to the national economy. I think it would blow people's minds. You know, a new car costs, what, $20,000 for a decent ride right now? Every single one of these racers, I think, spend an average of that at the short track level a year, maybe a lot more. And, you know, I just feel racing brings a lot to the world economy. So, anyway, you can go on and talk a minute.
Oh, okay. are you there, Josh?
Yeah, I'm here.
Are you there, RJ?
Yeah, I'm here.
You caught me off track there. I thought you no pun intended, you caught me off track. Do what?
You thought I was going to continue to chatter, did you?
I thought you were going to continue to chatter. I was just listening to – it was like listening to the driver scanner. Hey, speaking of drivers, RJ, one of the things, and we might have some short track drivers. One of the things that I'd like to point out is what you see on NASCAR Nationwide, the Truck Series, that sort of stuff, really are the elite of the elite of the elite drivers. And they don't have to pay for their own tires. They don't have to pay for their own fuel. They don't have to pay for their way to and from races. It's all taken care of in a very nice way. But the short track drivers, the midget drivers, the drivers that don't get a lot of publicity, that you will, which is one of the things that Trackside Review really tries to do, is you try to really bring home, if you will, an up close and personal, the real driver. And one of the things that Trackside Review has done in the past, and I think that you'd like to bring back, is a give back program to racers and that sort of stuff. And I know that you're always looking for press releases from drivers. So tell us a little bit about what you've got in place on what you'd like to bring back on giving back to the drivers, because let's face it, drivers out there today don't have the budget unless they've got big sponsors. And if they've got big sponsors, chances are most of these people that you see out on the short track and stuff, the way that I understand it, a lot of the expenses are coming out of their own pocket.
Oh, very much so. That or, you know, a business friend or two or three that they know. And the bottom line is this. When I started Trackside Review, my philosophy was to do a 50-50 split with subscriptions. Now, doing an online version, it's a little more difficult, but we're going to do that. You and I are going to sit down and sharpen our pencils, but basically I want the print version to be $22 a year. And the online version we need to discuss, because I want to make sure the short track racers that submit their press releases to me, that make an effort to help themselves get exposure, I want them to make sure that they have the opportunity to reap the benefits. If all I can do is provide, or I should say we, if all we can do is provide the pit pass money for a driver for the year. Let's say they race 20 times a year, so that's $400, roughly. You know, they can have their other sponsors cover their tires and their other sponsor cover their motors and their other, you know. And you know, in the beginning, I also look for money for race teams, and I want to do that again. But to do that, first I had to get a website up that I was proud of, and you have done that. You know, I'm sorry that I don't have the knowledge to be able to do this quick enough and pretty enough, and you know, I am a salesperson. Maybe a gift of gab might be one thing. But, you know, the bottom line is I want to help these short track racers. Mm-hmm. I grew up watching short track racing. I went to my first Indy 500 at 9 years old. I have not missed one. You know, I just want to help these guys. And, you know, I want to see some great racing at the same time. So
absolutely. And, guys, for those of you that have just joined us and are joining us, this is Trackside Review Radio Style, the last part of the balance. We do this every single Saturday with R.J. Cunningham with Trackside Review, the magazine. Check it out, www.tracksidereview.com. All right, guys, let's break it up. It's time to go into the desert. Josh, real quickly, have you had a chance to look at this week's race? Now, again, don't give away your driver pick just yet, but have you had a chance to look at this week's race? And we want to make sure that we, guys, we talk about the Nationwide, the Truck Series, and the NASCAR Series out there in Vegas. So, Josh, real quickly, have you broke down anything out there in the desert, and what do you think is going on? And then, RJ, you can have it right after that. Let's break down Las Vegas here on Trackside Review Radio Style.
Just to let you know, based on time, Tom, I'm going to go ahead and break it down for you and give you my pick. It's already, I don't know if you're aware of that or not.
It's already what?
8:50, so I'm going to go ahead and break it down and give you my pick at the same time.
Go ahead.
Going back to Phoenix, I don't think the Vickers Kinsett crash was necessarily anybody's fault, but going over to Vegas, Jimmy Johnson's won four of the last six events there. Kurt Busch, Kyle Busch are strong. Matt Kenseth looks good. Montoya looks decent. AJ Allmendinger looks good. I continue to be impressed by Paul Menard. If I'm Hendrick, and there's going to be a lot of fans that disagree with me, Mark Martin's not the only driver I let go at the end of the year. I might let Dale Jr. go to and put Paul Menard in that car. If Menard gets a decent car with a decent team, with a decent crew chief, he's going to, I think, in the 88 car, Paul Menard would do more than Dale Earnhardt Jr.'s ever thought about doing in the 88 car, although Jr.'s a fan favorite. Certainly don't want to bash Jr. and have a bunch of fans calling and say, well, whatever they would say, Jr. fans tend to be pretty defensive of Dale Earnhardt Jr., but my pick is going to be Jimmy Johnson making it two straight races, then the Hendrick's car will be in victory lane.
All right. So now who's your driver pick there, RJ? Did you get that?
Yeah, I'm picking Tony Stewart, and this will be the first time that I'm going to pick from my heart for the season. I just want everybody to know up front that I saw Tony race at a very, very young age and saw his sponsors jump on board. And from Dairy Queen down in Columbus, Indiana, when I go down there, I visit that Dairy Queen every single time I'm in Columbus. So that's my pick there. What about the Nationwide race? Who's picking that?
Go ahead, Josh, pick your Nationwide pick there.
I want to pick Danica Patrick, but I don't quite think she's ready yet, so I'm going to pick Trevor Bayne to get a Nationwide Series race win.
Okay, okay. RJ, what is your pick?
You know, this is really not fair. I'm going to not pick because I'm going to let somebody else pick, but I would pick Kyle Busch again. I would just pick him all season long, but I don't think that's quite fair. So,
now keep in mind, we're going to have a definition of the rules here. The picks have to be both right on NASCAR and Nationwide to get your win.
Oh, man. Now that's,
so either we want to do all NASCAR, because that would be $4 a week. That can get expensive for us on a low budget. So.
I know, but that's the whole objective. I want to fund my Christmas fund. You know, I'm going to go with I'll just go with Danica Patrick this weekend. Ha ha, how about that? I heard that she's paying for her advice now, so we'll see.
I hope so because I know that the GoDaddy car hit the GoDaddy wall. So practice. So we'll see how it is. I tell you what, jumping over on the – let me make sure I got this clear. You've got Tony Stewart for the NASCAR, and you've got Danica for the Nationwide. And, Josh, you got Trevor Bayne for the nationwide. Now, who did you pick for the NASCAR?
The number 48 machine, Jimmy Johnson.
Jimmy Johnson. Okay. Well, here's what I've got for the nationwide. I really like Ricky Steinhaus Jr. I think that he's got a lot of opportunity out there. I do like Trevor Bayne as well. Janica, I like to watch her. I mean, honestly, I'm one of those guys that thought she should have just stayed over there in IndyCar, but obviously I understand from the money reasons that we don't really have time to break down that whole debate today. But I'm going to go with Ricky Steinhaus Jr. as my pick in the nationwide, and I just think that he has a lot of potential. He's very, very focused. He's got a good team. He's got a good crew chief. And, you know, there's a lot of good drivers out there in the nationwide. I mean, I like Kyle Busch. A lot of people don't like Kyle Busch. So there's Brian Scott, and there's some other really good drivers out there that we'll look at throughout the season. And I think that Brian Scott is really got a good team behind him with Joe Gibbs Racing. And so we'll see how all of that pans out. But my pick there and I hope you're writing this down, RJ, yeah, because we're going to count on a spreadsheet from you. But I think that Steinhaus is going to be back here in 2011. He had a bad season last year, and I got him for this year. Now, like you said, over there in the NASCAR side of things, I know that Danica Patrick hired a consultant, if you will. So we'll see how all of that pans out. Now, the Sprint Cup. Pardon me. Yeah, I'm getting ready to get there. It's called teasing there in racing. I'm trying to figure out who it is that I do want to pick. I lost my train of thought.
You're looking at the, are you looking at our website to check this out, or are you?
No,
are
I'm you, I'm really huh. I'm really not. I
Are you on speed.com, Tom?
No, I'm really not. I'm really. I swear to God, I'm not on any site. Picking any sites. I'm actually. What I was trying to do was pull up some. I'm always trying to stay ahead of the game of the show. So, anyway, blah 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 blah. But I'm a Ryan Newman fan, and I think that he has really showed his stuff, that he has the ability to win. And I don't know that he's actually going to win. I like some of the winless drivers. Obviously, there's quite a few of them because there's only been two this year. But I really think that the desert plays well for Kevin Harvick, so I'm going to go out there and pick Kevin Harvick again this week. So I think that Kevin Harvick for the NASCAR race out there in Vegas.
All right, to repeat, we've got Tony Stewart and Danica Patrick for me, Jimmy Johnson, and Trevor Bayne for Josh, and Ricky Steinhaus and Kevin Harvick for here. So,
That's right. Well, guys, I tell you what, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but that music always means it's time for the 2-minute warning. And we do this every single Saturday. Make sure you check out TrackSideReview.com. And every week we'll be right here. And next week, remember, we're on XRE Radio. Women's Big Ten downtown in Indianapolis. Josh, any final thought?
No, I just want to take a chance to do something I just forgot to do last week. RJ, welcome to the team. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
RJ, final thoughts, real quickly.
Okay, I just love racing. I can't wait to get back out there. Josh, I want you to hang out with us too. As long as you promise to let me hang out with you sometimes as well. So.
All right, guys, that's going to have to be the final word. My name's Tom. This has been The Balance for March 5th, 2011.
Well, when I say when you gotta go, you gotta go.
You have made me very angry. Very angry indeed.
Oh, son of a gun. You thought I was gonna say son of a, didn't you?
That's all, folks.